God wants you to live abundantly. God wants you to overcome the giants that are in your life, whatever those giants might be. Last week we saw that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. There they were in bondage for over 400 years. And God sent Moses to deliver them out of Egypt. He brought them from Egypt down through the Red Sea. They saw a great victory as God brought them through that Red Sea and destroyed the army of Pharaoh, delivered them. And then we saw that God brought them to Mount Sinai, where He taught them the Word and gave them the Word. I mean, that is discipleship at its max, God giving them the Word. In fact, they were afraid of what God was doing. God took Moses up into the mountain. God gave him the Word of God. And he brought that down to them. They were to meet around the mountain of God. And they said, listen, we would prefer if you just get the message from God and bring the message to us. Being in the presence of Almighty God is a terrible thing. When I say terrible, I'm not like it's a bad thing, but it is a thing that will bring terror to your heart. If you realize the awesomeness and the holiness of God and you realize your inability and your sinfulness. Well, the Bible says that God brought them to Mount Sinai where they were given the Ten Commandments. And then the Bible says he after they had gotten his truth and were armed with his power and God had given them their leader, God said, okay, I want you now to go and take the land. I want you to conquer the land. And God sent them up to Kadesh Barnea. And they were to send spies into the land. They sent 12 spies into the land. And when those 12 spies went into the land, 10 of them came back with an evil report. Two of them said, hey, God wants to do this. We can go. But 10 of them came back and said, no, there's giants in the land. And those giants are there and those giants will overcome us. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. So just step on us. They'll crunch us. Now, understand this. When God talks about giants, he's not talking about like Jack and the Giant Killer. He's not talking about the giant that was on top of Jack's beanstalk. We're not talking about fairy tale giants. We're talking about men that were 8'6" to 10'6". I mean, these were big, huge men. Goliath was 9'6" in height. That's a big guy. I'm 6 foot. That means I'm standing next to somebody. I'm standing next to somebody who is 3'6" taller than me. That's a scary thought. I don't want to go into a boxing match with a guy like that. And if he's got a spear, I really don't want to talk to the guy. They went in, they saw these giants that were in the land, and those giants brought fear in their heart. The Bible says they came back, and the people said, the spies, they've discouraged us. They've discouraged the hearts of the people. And God doesn't use a discouraged people. God wants us to be encouraged. God wants us to move forward. But they did not want to go forward. They were afraid. And so the Bible says they were standing there on the edge of victory, and yet they were defeated. They went in. They said, we don't believe God. They did not believe God for what God wanted them to do. Now, listen, anytime God is going to do a work, he wants his people to step out on faith. Anytime God is going to do a work, he wants his people to believe him for greater things than they can accomplish themselves. God doesn't want you just to accomplish what you think you can do. Well, I think I can do this, or I think I can do that. God doesn't want you to do it. God wants you to depend upon him. So he allows giants in the land. The Bible tells us that they came, they saw the giants, and the giants struck fear in their heart. And since they were fearful, the Bible says that they turned back. And then there was no chance for them to go back. From that point on, God allowed them to be defeated. He said, no, you've got some lessons to learn. And you're going to learn them out into the wilderness. And that's where chapter 2 of Deuteronomy starts. And we're going to see that. Before we get started, let's pray and ask God to teach us. Father, I pray that you teach us from your word this morning. I pray, Father, that your people will see that you want them to overcome giants, not to be overcome by giants. Use this message to challenge us, to make us determine that we're going to walk by faith and accomplish your word. And I ask this your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 2, starting with verse 1. So they've left now they've left the victory. They're turning and they're going to go into the wilderness. And the Bible says this. Then we turned. Remember this, they were afraid of the giants. So God's got a major life lesson that he's going to teach them. Then we turned and we took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir. And the Lord spake unto me, that is, they went south to Mount Seir. The Lord spake to me, saying, we have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward and command you the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. There are several lessons that can be learned just from that passage. First of all, God gives you a possession. God doesn't want you taking what belongs to somebody else. God gives to individuals. God, it is never the right of one person to take from somebody else because they have something that you don't have. But here God says, listen, your brother Esau, what he's saying is this. Jacob was Esau's brother. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. The children of Israel were given the land of Canaan. And God said, look, I've given you this land, but you don't want that land. Because you said there's giants in that land and you were afraid to stay in that land. So you're leaving and you're going to go down by the way of Mount Seir. But the land of Mount Seir is not your land. It's the land of Esau. I've given it to them. So you can go there and you can buy from them and you can sell to them and you can pass through them, through there, but you're not allowed to take that land. Let's read it. Meddle not, it says in verse 5, with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given it, I've given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat for them for money, and you may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money that ye may drink. God is for the free market system. That really is the truth. The Bible says this. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee and all thy works of thy hand. He knoweth thy work, thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. God takes care of you. And what you need you can purchase, but don't you take that which is not yours. And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain of Elath, from Ezanbon-Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites. Now, you're not supposed to mess with the Edomites, the children of Esau, because I've given them a land. And you're not supposed to mess with the Moabites, because I've given their given them that land. The Moabites were direct descendants of Lot, Abraham's nephew. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar, that's the name of the land, unto the children of Lot for a possession. Now he says this in verse 10, he wants to point something out. God is pointing something out to the Israelites, and it's very important that you grab this. The Bible says, the Emans dwelt therein in times past. They were a people great and many and tall as the Anakims. The Moabites live in a country where the Emans used to live. Who are the Emans? They are giants. They were great, there were many, and they were tall like the Anakims. Remember, you just left the land of the Anakims because you were afraid of the giants. Well, the Moabites are dwelling in a land that used to have giants in them, but they overcame the giants, which were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them Emans. Now, verse 12. So don't mess with the children of Esau in Mount Seir. You can go through there. Don't mess with the Moabites in the land of Ar. By the way, giants used to live there, but I gave it to them and they conquered their land. Verse 12. The Horims also dwelt in Mount Seir before time. But the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did in the land of his possession, which the Lord God gave them. Now arise up, I said, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered. Now, let me stop there. He says, I want you to know this. Not only did the Moabites have giants in their land when they went in, they overcame them. But Esau, Mount Seir, they had giants in their land. They called them Horims. And they had giants and they overcame them because I gave that land to them. Now, he says, now rise up and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered, and the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we came over the brook Zered was 38 years until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people that the Lord spake unto me, saying, thou art to pass over Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them. For I will give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession. I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. The other son of Lot had children called the Ammonites, and God had given them a land. So God said, do not stay in Seir, leave there, and you can buy and sell, but that's not your land. I gave it to the children of Lot. I gave that to the children of Esau. They did what I told them to do, and they overcame the giants in their land. And then when you go up into Moab, you're not allowed to take that land either, because I gave that land to the Moabites, and they overcame the giants that were in their land. And now, 38 years later, you're going to go back up through the land of the Ammonites. Now, look in verse. He says, I'm not going to give you them. You're not allowed to mess with them either. Look in verse 19. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress not them, nor meddle with them. For I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted a land of giants. By the way, he says, that place was a land of giants as well. Giants dwelt therein in old times, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumin. That's a giant of a name. Zamzumins, they were called. And the people, he says, were great and many and tall as the Anakims. So he said, listen, there were the Emans for the Moabites. There were the Horims for the Edomites. There were the Zamzumins for the Amorites. I gave them each a portion of land, and they took their land, and they battled their battles, and they won. Don't you mess with their stuff. You go through there. And so the Bible says in verse 21, it says, and the people were great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even unto this day. And the Avins, which dwell in Hazarim, even unto Aza, and Captorims, which came forth out of Captor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon. By the way, Sihon was a giant of a man as well. And his land, begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Now, I want you to see this on this map. I want you to see what God did. The Bible tells us that God brought him. Go to the map, if you would. Go to the map. There's three different colors on the map. Nope, go to the next one. Go that. There you go. Great. I want you to see this. I want you to see that where the children of Israel went. I want you to see they were in Kadesh Barnea. Then they went down to Mount Seir. Then they traveled back up to through Moab. And then they traveled up through Ar. And now they're going into the land where Sihon, king of Heshbon, is. Now, it's very, very important that you see this. I want you to understand where they have gone. They went to one place where the Moabites lived. Well, let me just finish reading here. But you got to grab a hold of this. He says, now I want you to go up to where Sihon is. And I want you to beat this giant. I'm going to give you his land. Look what it says. This day, he says, I will begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations. Let me make this clear. This is now 40 years later. For 40 years, they have dwelt in around that red area that you see on the map. For 40 years, they have dwelt there. This day will I begin to put the dread and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of thee and shall tremble and shall be in anguish because of thee. I'm going to cause them to fear you. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace. Moses said, when God told me that, I sent messengers to Sihon. And I said to him, look, we want to be peaceful with you. Let me pass through thy land, verse 27. I will go along the highway. I will neither turn to the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet, as the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwelt in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord God giveth me. So he says to Sihon, we'll not mess with you if you don't mess with us. I just need to go through your land. But God's already said, I'm going to give you Sihon. But he said, but Moses said, well, let's go through and see if we can offer peace. But so he sends a message, says, listen, we won't mess with you. Don't mess with us. But he says in verse 30, it says, Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon his land and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. I am going to give you Sihon. I'm going to give you his land, and you're going to possess his land. Then Sihon came out against us. Sihon, this giant, comes out against us and all his people to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all of his people. And we took all of his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none, only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the city which we took from Aror, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead. There was not one city, not one city, not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto thy place by the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities of the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. He said, we did exactly what God told us to do, and God conquered them all. God gave them all into our land. That is what Moses is telling the people. Remember, he's about to go into the land of Canaan, and he's giving this message, reminding them what God has done. He's telling them, look, 40 years ago, your forefathers, your fathers, your grandfathers stood on the verge of victory and they lost because they did not believe. They could have seen great things happen, but they missed out on the great hand of God because they did not believe. And so he said, I want to teach you something. I want you to I brought you through the last 40 years through this wilderness so you could learn a lesson. And Liberty Baptist Church, we need to learn this lesson that took them 40 years to learn. We need to learn it today. The first thing I want you to see here is this. The very first point is this. That God has giants everywhere. Giants are everywhere. They said, we're not going to go into the land of promise because there are giants there. So God said, okay, let's go down to Mount Seir. Mount Seir, where Esau was, I want you to understand. He says there were giants there. There were Edomites there. And they did right. He taught them, hey, there were giants in Mount Seir. He said, now let's leave Mount Seir. And I want you to go up to the land of the Edomites. I want you to go up to the land of the Moabites. I want you to see the land of Moab, and I want you to see where the Horims dwelt. There were giants there. I want you to understand there are giants everywhere you go. So they didn't get to go into the promised land because of unbelief, because they couldn't conquer giants. But they turned around and faced giants. They then went into Moab where giants were, and God overcame those giants. They went then to the land of the Amorites. The Zanzumans were there. They saw that God used them to overcome giants. And it took them 40 years to learn this simple lesson. Everywhere you go, whatever you ever do for God, whatever you do in your life, there will always be giants. And then he says, here's what we're going to do now. We're going to leave the land of the Edomites. We're going to go through the land of the Moabites. We've already seen what's happened with the Amorites. We're going to take you up to Heshbon. Now that you've learned these lessons from people that were not my chosen people, but I blessed them because they were willing to fight their giants, I'm going to take you up and you're going to fight a giant. And his name is Shihon. He's the king of Heshbon, and you're going to fight against him. And before I take you into the promised land where there are still giants, I'm going to have you overcome this giant there. And the Bible says they went and they fought against Shihon. And they beat him, and they took every city they needed to take. And the Bible says, again, there was not one city too strong for us, for the Lord our God delivered all unto us. God wants you to know this in your life. It doesn't matter if you're in the will of God, which was go into the promised land, or you run from the will of God because you're afraid of giants. It doesn't matter if you're in the will of God or you're not. You will face giants. You will face giants. You will face difficulties. There will be obstacles. There will be problems. It doesn't matter where you are. The Bible tells us, Job said, man is few days and full of trouble. The fact is, that is the way this world is. You say, why is it that way? Because this world is fallen. And the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. But God doesn't want you to walk around in fear and defeat. God wants you, number one, to face this fact that giants are everywhere. Giants are everywhere. Everywhere you go, there will be giants. And so it's best to stay in the will of God. Why? Because if you're in the will of God, then God is on your side and you can overcome Sihon, king of Heshbon. Can you say amen to that? God wants you to understand, number one, that giants are everywhere. Number two, he wants you to understand this, that giants need to be identified. Giants need to be identified. God clearly names them. These were the Emims. These were the Horims. These were the Zanzumans. There are giants. There are the Anakins. God wants you to know who the giants are. God wants you to know what the giants are. He doesn't want you to know about giants so that you'll fear them. He wants you to face them. He wants you to overcome them. He wants you to be victorious over whatever giants there are that you face. God wants you to deal with the giants. And I don't know what it is that's in your life right now, but I know this. I know Satan doesn't want you to win. I know that Satan would have you lose. I know this, that when you stand before a church and you say, look, there are six major projects that we want to work on. And when you start talking about things like, when you start talking about giving the gospel to the city, getting the gospel to 350,000 homes, when you start talking about outreach, when you start talking about paying off a debt, when you start talking about $1.9 million, people say, hey, that's a giant. How can we possibly do that? How can we possibly reach Las Vegas? There's 2 million people in Las Vegas. And don't you know the sin and the wickedness of this city? And don't you know all of that? I know all of that. But I know that God is bigger than any giant. Can you say amen to that? God is bigger than anything we face. And God wants us to have the attitude of victors, that we can go in and we can conquer and we can do what God wants us to do. But generation after generation of Christians miss out on the blessings of God and the power of God in their life to accomplish God's will in their life because they're intimidated by giants. Giants are everywhere. Giants need to be identified. What are the giants that you face? What are the giants that you face? They may be physical giants. You may say, preacher, you just don't know. I can't be what God wants me to be because I got some physical problems. Maybe you've got sickness in your life. Maybe you've got some problems physically, some things you just cannot do. Remember Moses? Moses said, God, I can't go out and witness for you. I have a problem with my mouth. I don't talk right. I have a problem. I'm slow of speech. God said, look, I don't care. I made your mouth. I knew exactly what I was doing. People look at God and over throughout Scripture, you have God calling men and people saying, wait a minute, I'm just a child. I can't do that. Solomon said, I'm but a child. He faced the fact that he was coming in after a great King David. How do you follow and act like King David? How do you do that? How do you deal with that? Paul's name was Saul beforehand, which meant a great one, and he became Saul, the little guy. He was rejected by his family. He was rejected by his peers. He was cast out of his religion. He lost it all. How do you face giants like that and keep going forward and accomplish all that the Apostle Paul did for the cause of Jesus Christ? You face your giants. You realize that there are you realize who your giants are, you identify them, and then you deal with them. Giants need to be identified. Sickness. Maybe it's a lack of discipline in your life. You say, well, preacher, I've tried to read my Bible. I set goals. I was going to read my Bible. And every time I set a goal to read my Bible a certain amount of every day, I fail. Every time I set a goal to pray every day, I fail. And I'm sick of failing. And maybe your past failures are your giant in your life. Maybe you say, well, I've tried to be the kind of husband that I'm supposed to be, but I failed. And that past failure is a giant in your life. Maybe you've said and done something real stupid in your past, and that stupid thing that you did is a giant in your life. Maybe there's some past defeats. Maybe there's things like that in your life, physical giants in your life, things that are there. You just say, wow, you don't know the obstacles that I have. You don't know the obstacles that I face. I want you to know that God knows your physical limitations. God knows the physical giants that you face. He wants you to overcome them. Maybe it's an emotional giant. Maybe it's some kind of sorrow that's in your heart. Maybe it's somebody that you lost. Maybe it's something that you did wrong. Maybe it's some past sin in your life. And you say, I just can't serve God. Some people say, I can't come to Jesus Christ because you don't understand how bad a sinner I am. I want you to understand that I don't understand how bad a sinner you are, but God does. And I want you to know that God loved you in spite of the fact that you were a sinner. And God knew that you couldn't overcome your sin and that you can't overcome your sin and get to heaven. The Bible says the only way you can overcome your sin is if somebody pays for your sin in your place. In fact, the Bible says it this way. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says because of our sin, all of our sin, we deserve to go to hell. You and I, we all deserve to go to hell. You've sinned. You've offended God. And I don't care if it's adultery, homosexuality, abortion, or if it's backbiting, pride, arrogance. I don't care if it's an inward sin or an outward sin. I don't care if it's drunkenness or I don't care if it's addiction. I don't care what the, I don't, if it's pornography. I don't care what the situation is. God knows about your sin. God knows how wicked it is. And your sin of homosexuality is as bad as my sin of pride. It's a violation of God's law. And these sins are giants in our life that would keep us from going to heaven, except that God in heaven loved us in spite of our sin. God came to this earth as a man. In the person of Jesus Christ, he lived for 33 years and then he knew your sin had to be paid for by death, so he went to the cross and he died in your place. And he paid for your sin in your place. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And a bunch of people who did not believe that he could rise from the dead saw him. And they were eyewitnesses. Over 500 eyewitnesses testified to the fact that they saw Jesus rise from the dead. Many of those, or several of those, took time and penned the New Testament, so we have an eyewitness account of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says after he was seen by hundreds of people, he went back to heaven. The Bible says he's living in heaven now. He says this, if you'll just come to me and admit that you're a sinner and admit that that your sin is so big that it would send you to hell, that giant is there. And you'll come to me and say, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you are God. And I know that you died to pay for my sin. You were buried and rose from the dead for me. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him, say, Jesus, I know you died for me. I know you were buried. You rose from the dead for me. And I'm asking you to take me to heaven. The Bible says he'll wash away all your sin. He'll cleanse you. And he'll take you to heaven, not because you're good enough, but because he already paid for your sin and you accepted, you received what he did for you. You get to heaven by putting your faith and trust in him. He overcomes the giants. People say, well, I'm just too sinful to be saved. Oh, no, every one of us are too sinful. But Jesus overcomes that giant. You got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The past sin in your life, it might be fear. I can't go door to door. I mean, I know there were 145 people that went out door to door, but you don't understand. It just scares me. The whole idea of going door to door, people come to the door and they yell at you. And I mean, there are monsters, there are giants behind those doors. That's the way God wants you to go. And knock on doors and you'll find out there's not as many giants back there. In fact, those giants, God can take care of them. God wants us to go out and tell people about him. You may have depression in your life. You're just depressed. I want you to understand there are emotional giants and God knows about them. There are financial giants. There's financial giants. When I talk about $1.9 million debt, people say, whoa, it's a giant. I want you to understand. I don't know what it is in your life. You may be facing some financial giant. But I want you to understand that God knows about that giant. God knows about that giant. He doesn't want you to run from that giant. He doesn't want you to be afraid of that giant. He just wants you to identify the giant in your life. Look at it. Identify it. Giants are everywhere. And giants need to be identified. It may be some numerical giant. You say, man, I just can't do that. You know, preacher, there's 2 million people in Las Vegas. How are we going to reach them? Hey, I want you to understand God knows about the giants that you face. He knows about the giants that I face. And he knows about the giants that this church faces. And he doesn't say run from the giants. He tells us to overcome them. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He also knows about the critics. I tell you what, one of the greatest giants that I face are critics. I can remember we were going to start this church. People said, you cannot start an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church like this in Las Vegas. You just cannot do that. People aren't going to put up with it. People want rock music. People want all sorts of things. You've got to compromise. People aren't going to hear you talk about being pure and holy. And not in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can go do that someplace else, but you just cannot do it in Las Vegas. It's just impossible. You can't have this kind of church here. But God did it. Can you say amen to that? God's done it. This church, this auditorium's been full two times this morning. It'll be full this evening. God is doing a work that is impossible because it doesn't matter. The critics come. I want you to understand, it doesn't matter what you do in your life. It doesn't matter what God challenges you to do in your life. There will always be somebody who will tell you, you can't do it. Whatever God wants you to do, there will be somebody saying, it's impossible. It can't be done. You cannot do it. You cannot. They'll kick you from the behind. I'll tell you what. I like what B.R. Lincoln used to say. He used to say, just remember, if they're kicking you from the rear, that means you're out in front. There are always critics. There's always somebody who will tell you you can't do it. The poet said, I saw the room was cold and dire. I went to light it with a fire. The critic said, I was too bold. I heard and let the room grow cold. The children had nothing to eat. I went to give them something sweet. The critic said, 'twas not my place. A starving look now mars their face. I saw a need I went to fill. I found my task was all uphill. Each time I tried to meet the need, I found a critic for my deed. I soon began to realize that millions live and millions die. And many want to show they care, but oftentimes they do not dare because they hear the critic's voice and are afraid to make the choice to go against the critic's cry. Because of this, so many die without the joy found in one deed of reaching out to meet the need. God wants us to say to Mr. Critic, go home! Leave me alone! I don't want to hear from you. If you don't believe that God can do something, then get out of my way. Because I believe God wants us to go into the promised land. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God wants us to walk in victory. Don't believe the critic. There are giants, giants everywhere. Giants need to be identified. They may be physical, they may be emotional, they may be financial, they may be numerical, they may be critics or critical people. Just ignore them and go on. Then remember this, number three, giants are a gift from God. Giants are a gift from God. That obstacle that you're facing, that problem that seems insurmountable, it is a gift from God. He said, what do you mean? I want you to see this. In verse 31, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon. Let me read it again. I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. I want you to see this. God gave them Sihon. They wanted the land, but they got Sihon and the land. Giants are a gift from God. You need to understand that. Whatever it is that you're facing, that tough situation, that obstacle, God gave it to you. Why? Because of what your giant will do for you. Your giant is given to you to make you dependent. Giants make you dependent upon God. You see, you're coming up and you're just going to do this thing, and then all of a sudden there's a giant. You say, what am I going to do with the giant? This thing that's in front of me, I can't handle it. You know what happens? You say, God, I need your help. And you bow before him. And when you bow before him, your God can take care of any giant. Because God dwarfs any giant you face. Can you say amen to that? Our God is an awesome God. And no matter who it is that you're facing, God can take care of him. No matter what it is that you're facing, you just do what God wants you to do. You face your giant. Giants are a gift from God because they make you dependent upon him. Number two, they're given to prove your faith. They're given to prove your faith. When you say, I'm going to go ahead, even though people say I'm crazy, even though it looks difficult, even though I don't understand how we're going to do it, we're going to go ahead and do what God wants us to do. When you take a step of faith in the midst of obstacles, you need to understand that it proves your faith. Now, who does it prove it to? Does it prove it to God? No, God knows. God already knows about your faith. Who does it prove it to? Does it prove it to you? No, because you know. Who does it prove it to? It proves it to those who are watching. See, people hear you say you believe God. But when you move out against an obstacle, against a giant, they say, wow, that guy really does believe God. When David took the stones and said, oh, there's Goliath, I'll go whip him. They said, this guy's either nuts or he's got somebody on his side. You understand? You understand, people, if when you say, I'm going to do this because it's right, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I may not feel like it. I may physically have a hard time doing it. I'm going to do it because God wants me to do it. When you step out on faith, you prove something. Not only that, you prove it to the those in the spirit realm. Remember the story of Job? There Job stood. There Job stood just doing what God wanted him to do. And all of a sudden, one day, the devil comes before God. And he says, God says, what have you been doing? I've been out there looking at all these little creatures that you made all over the earth. They're all doing whatever they want to do. God said, have you considered Job? Job's serving me. Job loves me. Job's honoring me. Have you considered my servant Job? And Satan laughed. Said, yeah, he serves you. He's got everything. You blessed him. He's got all his family. He's got his children. He's got his riches. He's got a nice house. He's got it all. Take all that stuff away from him. Throw some giants his way. He'll stop serving you like that. God said, okay, give him some giants. And God gave him some giants. And all sorts of giants came. His family was wiped out. There were problems. He lost all of his household goods, lost all of his cattle, lost all of his riches. There was nothing left. And God said, the Lord giveth. Or Job said, the Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the angels observed that. And the devil observed that. And the demons observed that. And his faith was proven. To who? To those in heaven. They said, wow, look at Job. That couple days later, there's Satan there in front of the Lord. He said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been traveling around there. Nobody's serving you. He said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, I know. You take away all that stuff and he's still serving you. But man, let him get sick physically. Let him get miserable physically. See what he does then. He'll curse you to your face. Have his wife curse him. See what happens then. He said, okay, here's a few more giants, Job. Job gets infested with boils. He's scraping boils off of his body. He's miserable. His wife says, why don't you curse God and die? Nice wife. You may have problems with your wife, but has she told you to curse God and die? So she said, curse God and die. And so he said, oh, why would we curse God? He said, I came into this world naked. Guess I'm going out of the world naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to understand something. Giants prove our faith in God. Giants are a gift from God. Giants are a gift from God because they make us dependent upon Him. Giants are a gift from God because they prove our faith in Him when we respond in the right way. Giants are a gift from God. So, number one, giants are everywhere. Number two, you just need to identify those giants. Number three, you need to understand that they're a gift from God. And then you need to understand this, that giants belong to God. Remember again in verse 31, God said, I'm going to give you Sihon. You can't give what doesn't belong to you. You can only give what you own. He owns your giants. He owns your giants. You're having some physical giant? God owns that. God owns it. You got some emotional problem? God owns that. You got some financial deal? God owns it. He gave it to you. God owns it. God, the Bible says in verse 25, look at that. It says, this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. God is in control and he can put his fear in their heart. You don't have to fear your giants. Your giants will fear you if you walk with God. If you walk with God, the Bible says God can put fear in their hearts. Then I want you to understand, too, that God gave them to you. God gave them. God gives you the giants. He said, here are the giants. They are mine. I'll put fear in their heart and I'll give them to you so that you can take them with their land. God will give them to you if you will do what God wants you to do. I want you to understand this about giants as well. They'll try to keep you from God's plan. That is, they'll try to keep you from doing what is right. Giants do that. Giants keep you from reading your Bible. They keep you from praying. They keep you from witnessing. They keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do. Giants are intended to keep Liberty Baptist Church not from getting the gospel to every single home in the Las Vegas Valley. Giants are there to say, you cannot have the Grand 1000 Club. The giants are there to say, you cannot disciple. You cannot be discipled. Giants are there to say, you cannot get people connected within the church. Giants are there to say, hey, you can't have the largest number. You can't have a big victory day on Resurrection Sunday. Giants are there to say, hey, you cannot give to missions. This is too tough of an economic time. You just cannot continue to give to missions around the world. You just cannot continue to see souls saved. You just cannot do there. Giants are there to tell you you cannot do what God wants you to do. But I want you to understand this, that God gave them to you, as I've already said, that God will give you their land, that God will put fear of you in their heart. And I want you to note this, last of all, they will be delivered into your hand if you obey God and you just don't quit. God says, I'm going to give them into your hand if you'll just believe me and you won't quit. If you quit, your forefathers, your grandfathers walked away. Your fathers walked away. Now it's your opportunity. And I'm going to show you through Sihon. I've taken you and shown you that there's giants everywhere. I've identified the giants for you. I want you to know that these giants are from me. And I want you to know that they belong to me. And I want you to know. And I don't know what the giant is that you're facing in your life, but I want you to know whatever it is, that God will use it and God will bring victory in your life and God will deliver those giants into your hand if you just won't quit. You just have to keep doing the right thing. Do what God wants you to do. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low, can you say amen to that? And the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often a goal is nearer than it might seem to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the cloud of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may seem near. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight. When your hardest hit, it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Giants are everywhere. Giants need to be identified. Giants are your gift from God, whatever it is. It's your gift from God. Giants belong to God. And all you have to do is keep doing what God wants you to do, and they'll be delivered into your hands if you just obey Him and don't quit. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Father, help us to take your truth. Help us to apply it to our lives. I pray, Father, for the giants that so many here in this auditorium, and Father, those that are watching by internet, Father, are facing. Help them to overcome those giants. And Father, see miracles in their life. God, do a work for your glory and your honor here in this church and in our lives individually and in our families that will bring glory and honor to your name. And it's in your name, the name of Jesus Christ, I ask this.